All right, Chichos, I need you to listen carefully to this list and see if any of these describe you. You have been in therapy for years, or you have been in 12-step recovery for years, but all of your healing has been in your head and not in your body. You live in a constant state of hypervigilance. You are constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. You have 3 good days in a row, you're bracing for impact, or perhaps you just can't enjoy any of the good things in your life. Feeling good feels so unsafe. Or perhaps you are totally disconnected from your body. You are numb. You're checked out when somebody asks you how you're feeling. You don't know how to answer. You are stuck in self-sabotage, procrastination, self-doubt, and no matter what you do, you stay stuck in it. You cannot be alone with yourself, so you scroll, you eat, you stay busy, you do anything not to feel. Your inner critic is absolutely relentless, and after a lifetime of hearing it, you can't even identify it as being your inner critic. It just feels like who you are. You are currently doing IFS therapy or parts work, and self is more of a concept that you understand rather than something that you actually can feel. Or perhaps you've been doing this healing work all by yourself, and somewhere in you, you know that healing and community is the piece that's been missing. So if you heard yourself in any of that, and who are we kidding, folks? I know that at least one of those things described you, okay? I have a message for you. I built a course. This is the first one that I built entirely myself, and it is everything that has actually worked for me. All of the stuff that moved the needle after doing years and years and years of therapy and realizing, holy shit, I'm not as healed as I thought I was. This is nervous system work. This is somatic parts work. This is actually learning how to be in your body instead of just knowing that you should be. I put it all together in 1 7-week live journey, and I am not teaching this from the top of the mountain as somebody who is perfectly healed. I am in the middle of this work just like you, and I built this thing because I needed it and nobody had put it together in this specific way for people like us. It is called Safe Within, a somatic healing journey to finding self-energy, and it starts July 1st. Early bird pricing runs through June 10th, so you, the person who is currently coming up with all the reasons why you shouldn't sign up, or you, the person who feels that little pit in their stomach right now telling them to sign up, or you, who doesn't feel anything in their body right now because they're so checked out, but whose head is telling them, I think I need to do this. Let's do the damn thing already. Go to adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin, adultchildpodcast.com/safewithin. You can find all the details. Do it now.
The dysfunction in our homes impacted us, but so did the way it was communicated or not communicated at all. In a healthy family, what's happening in the home gets shared with kids in age-appropriate ways, enough that they can make sense of their world, not so much that they become responsible for it. But that's not what most of us got. We either got way too much or nothing at all. When your parent shared too much, your parent told you about the affair, they cried to you about your other parent, they shared their financial stress or mental health struggles with you, you mediated their arguments, heard things no kid should hear, and became their emotional support system. You were their therapist, their confidant, their safe place. This teaches you that your feelings don't matter as much as theirs do, that love's mean carrying someone else's weight, that you earn love by being useful, and that if you stop holding everything together, people will fall apart or leave. You also lose the parent-child relationship entirely. They make you their peer, and you never get to just have a parent. And in some cases, you're handed one parent's version of the other parent and never get the chance to form your own relationship with them. How this shows up in adulthood: gravitating towards partners who need saving, not knowing how to receive support because you've only ever given it, difficulty relaxing in relationships without a role to play, resentment you can't quite name because you're exhausted but don't know how to stop, poor boundaries around other people's emotions, feeling responsible for how everyone around you feels. When your parent didn't share enough, nobody talked about anything. You could feel the tension, see the dysfunction, sense that something was wrong, but it was never acknowledged. Questions were shut down, feelings weren't discussed, the family operated on an unspoken rule, we don't talk about this, everything is fine. This teaches you that your own perception isn't reliable, that the people closest to you will look you in the eye and pretend nothing is happening, that asking for the truth makes you the problem, that emotions are something to suppress or to be ashamed of, that love means not rocking the boat. You never developed a vocabulary for what you were feeling because no one ever modeled one. And you might feel like you grew up in the same house as these people and still have no idea who they actually are, because they never let you in on anything real. You built your understanding of your family from what you pieced together on your own, and some of it might be wrong. How it shows up in adulthood, shutting down during conflict, not knowing how to have hard conversations, minimizing your own experiences, feeling disconnected from people even when they're right next to you, choosing partners who are emotionally unavailable because that's what closeness felt like, a deep sense that something is wrong with you, but you can't articulate what. So which of these did you experience growing up? Too much, not enough, or both? Has anything changed with your family now? Are you still getting too much, nothing, or has the dynamic shifted as you've grown older? And do you feel like you tend to overshare with people, or do you struggle to open up at all?
Thanks for the topic. It wasn't really something that I was even thinking about until you read the part at the end. So I grew up in a family that basically was like, see nothing, say nothing, hear nothing. However, you couldn't get away with anything without somebody seeing it, saying it, or hearing it. And such like, I'm going to bring it to present day, something recently that just happened. I have a brother who's 25 years older than me. Yep, there's 8 of us. I'm the youngest. So my brother, apparently his wife passed away. And he did not contact anybody in the family. He's kind of disowned us, or, you know, ghosted us all or whatever. I've spoken to him once, probably in the past 7 years. And he doesn't live that far from me. I'm the relative who lives the closest, other than my niece who lives on the other side of Wyoming. So anyway, of course I get a call from one of my sisters and they have to tell me like this happened. And I'm like, oh, that's too bad. She's been sick for a while. And I said, I wonder if our brother will come out of hiding, or is he just going to die a lonely man on the mountain? And I said, well, how'd you find out? Did he call you? Did he let you know? She's like, oh no. So-and-so told so. And it reminds me of that hair commercial. Like they told for two friends and so on and so on and so on. And it's just not right. First off, he didn't tell anybody in our family because he doesn't want us to know, right? Like when I don't tell you guys something, I don't want you to know. And I sat with it and I like felt bad for him that he doesn't feel like he can even reach out to our family and tell us that that happened. And it's really sad. And the person he was closest with in my family, who he never cut off, passed away 2 years ago. And that's the only reason I ever spoke with him, because he called when I was visiting her. And that is my oldest sister. So it's very strange how the dynamics of your family and like the family secret, because we were supposed to be, you know, the house with the white picket fence, which when you close the door, well, it was pretty dark in there. And how we had to portray ourselves to each other and also to the neighborhood. And it's just coming to like the reality of the situation is really confusing to me. And some days I feel like I just want to bang my head and I don't want to talk to any of them. And I try not to tell them anything, because I've had this problem with one of my siblings writing to God knows who about where my son is. And I don't really even know where my son is. I can only tell you that I've been hearing from him, but he can't tell me where he is. And that is because that's his life and that's what he chose. And I've told her to stop doing that. And she has stopped, which is good. So she is listening. But it's really, thanks for the subject, because I will sit with it. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate you guys all being here today.
This is a good one. And I can relate to both of them, because When I was younger, I was my mom's therapist. You know, I was her partner, basically. And there was so much dysfunction. My dad is an alcoholic, and you didn't know what you were going to get. And but that was all hush hush, and it's still hush hush now, even though alcoholism is very strong in our family on his side. And they would always call family meetings, and it was like, okay, who died? What's happening? Like, it was never like something good, and it was always just incredibly dramatic, and everyone was crying. And then it was just like, okay, go on with your life. Like, no follow up, nothing. And then seeing my parents fight so much and hearing them talk about each other behind each other's backs to me and my sister. And then the triangulation is like out of control. So, of course, I didn't learn any repair. And that's been really hard. And now that I'm in this, doing this higher level of treatment, I'm realizing that I'm incredibly avoidant, and I wonder why, but I now know why. And my husband and I kind of, we had a pretty big misunderstanding the other weekend and got in a pretty big, big fight. And I just wanted to like shut out and focus on my recovery. But I know that I needed to let time pass for both of us and then try to like put the olive branch out there, but without allowing my anxious attachment to, you know, fix the problem. But that's really hard because I don't have a baseline to work from because I didn't see healthy communication. I didn't see healthy repair. And then as I got older, you know, we were billboard family. Everybody was perfect. Everyone had their role. And similar to what Nancy was sharing was that as soon as you closed the door, it was like House of Horrors. But when the door was open, the second somebody was there, everybody had their game face on. We were all perfect. Everyone was a happy family. Like it's creepy. Now that I look back on it, it's very much like Stepford Wives movie, I feel like, is what my life was. And there was a lot of really horrible stuff that happened behind closed doors that, I mean, I'm the first person to even talk about, I know, because I went no contact and left the family. And I know that if I ever brought these incidences up with my parents or my sister, I would immediately be, you know, oh my gosh, you're making this up. You remember this wrong, blah, 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 blah. So it was like in adulthood, anything that was bad for our family, like my parents and my sister, it was hush, hush. You absolutely don't talk about it. Like my dad got a DUI when he was in Hawaii a couple of years ago. And he claimed, you know, of course it wasn't his fault. It was the police officer's fault. And he had his license taken away and we had to drive him everywhere. But nobody knew about that. And everyone just said that he was having neurological problems. So again, it's hard. It affects me in adulthood because I can tend to overshare sometimes, or I just do very surface sharing, and I don't, because I don't trust, I can't trust communication, and I'm getting better at it, and recovery has helped, and being in this group has helped, and being in PHP has helped. Like I was just telling the other day that honestly, because of this group is the reason why I think I was able to go to PHP and why I've been able to share in program is because I feel so comfortable because I was able to practice with you all and y'all are my family and I can practice communication here. And that's really cool because I think that we all kind of get where we're all coming from in a sense. And it's like a no judgment practice. So I'm going to leave it there. Thanks.
Hey, if you had asked me, what do you most not want to talk about right now? This would be it. So it's perfect. Let's just keep this between us, not on the podcast. I get really anxious just talking about the thing that I'm going to talk about. And I'm not going to say it out loud a lot because I still get so fearful. Even though she's not home right now, my roommate is like behind on rent money and stuff. And it feels like me having the conversation, I will die. Literally feels like I will die if I bring it up. I know. Full well, like it's perfectly reasonable to be like, hey, can you get rent money by whatever date, like the 7th or something? It usually doesn't happen till like the 20th, which has like been kind of fine for a while, but I get us a huge rent discount. That's the whole reason I work maintenance is for that. So that is my favor. That is my favor I bring to this roommate relationship. And it still feels terrible. Just I can't imagine having the conversation. Everyone's like, just keep it chill, just keep it light, just be like, hey, can I have the rent money by the 7th? And like, easy peasy, done, done, done. And I'm like, great, in theory, I hear you. I could see how those words could come out of my mouth and I would be okay. And this is going on for like a month or two now that I just can't bring it up. And I talk to my sponsor, my therapist, my boyfriend, everyone. And it's like, oh, that's not a big deal. Like, that's a very normal human thing that you deal with. Like, money is a hard thing to talk about, but here's how you do it. Just keep it casual and just say, this is what needs to happen. And I'm like, great, I hear you. And then he's like, when are you going to do it? And I'm like, probably tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and I'm like, probably tomorrow would be better, would probably be better for me. And that's been going on for a while. And it's from that adult child in me that's like, it's not hurting anybody is a fucking lie. It's hurting me. And I have to advocate for myself. I'm the only person this is hurting. And you can understand, be empathetic. Like, I know she's on hard times and like life sucks and you just keep getting hit over and over again. But it is perfectly reasonable for me to say, hey, this is the very basis of our relationship is that I pay half, you pay half in a timely manner. And that feels to me so mean. I feel like I'm wrecking her life. And it's the feelings, the feeling that that will happen. And I really want to tell you guys next week that I did it. Also, I haven't cried in a few months. I don't know why that is, but like, here we go. That's in a good way. Like, life has been good, but like that's how like worked up this gets me of like my blood pressure goes up and I just spiral and I'm like, we gotta, I cannot do it alone. My higher power is here with me that can guide me to say these few words. My sponsor says, be succinct, be something and be gone. I can't remember the other one, but like, just keep it short, sweet, to the point, and then move on. And I get that in my head, but I don't get it, and it feels so shitty. And I know you guys will get it, and so that's really helpful because I don't have anyone really talk about this with because it's like, being an adult child is fucking rough. It is a whole thing. And I've come so far. All of us have come so far. I've watched so many of you grow and heal and do amazing things. And I need to tell myself, it was almost a year ago exactly that I was getting my teeth fixed. And I never thought that would be possible, never in a million years. And I did it. And it took small, small steps leading up to something bigger. That's how we do this. I get to practice. I don't have to be perfect at it, but I do have to do it because no one else is going to do it for me. I have to know that fact. No one else can, no one else will, no one else should. I need to do this for me to learn. This is a life lesson. Like, money stuff will come up our whole life, and I suck with money, but how do we get better? We do the thing. We do the thing. So I appreciate you all so much, so much. And love you dearly. So thanks.
Do you have a texting relationship with her? How do
I feel like that feels like a cop out, but I don't know if that's
No.
part of me telling me to do that of like make a like three sentence like, hey,
Don't
just
even
gotta
think it
do
has to be
the
that long. I think it could be 1 to 2.
thank you. Okay. Yeah, a text feels doable, I guess. So thank you.
So the, reading this has had the effect that like reading the laundry list has had for me. It's put a lot of specifics on the outcomes of things that happened when I was a kid. So my dad and mom split up. My dad's an alcoholic, still is. Haven't talked to him in probably over a decade. And you know, from sixth grade on, I was like my mom's support. And that just seeing this reading resonates so much, especially the parent leans on side of things, sharing too much and complaining about the other. I mean, there was plenty that I knew about him, but she didn't really have to tell me. But that how it shows up in adulthood part is it really hits. And I think it's so helpful to see it And to think about it like this, because it gives me an idea of kind of who to look for inside, you know, like what's the shape of the inner parts that are there and what they're up to. And because I'm pretty new to all of that, and I'm doing IFS work with a therapist and just getting started, feeling a little bit lost, like who exactly, what am I looking for, and what are they like? How will I know when I've come across a part? And I had that experience of about a week or two ago of meeting what I think is my first part that I've met. And it felt great, and it makes a lot of sense. And the descriptions give me a lot of, I feel like give a lot of scope or material or something, tells me what I'm looking for and what are their wounds and what are they dealing with. In particular, the shutting down during conflict, not knowing how to receive support, not knowing how to have hard conversations like everyone's been talking about. Like these are all sort of offshoots of the ACA laundry list in some way. And they have that same effect on me as I read it. So really appreciate the reading and all the shares. I mean, that's what the meetings do anyway, is just give me all of y'all's perspectives, just so much more insight into not just you all, but into myself too. And so I appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
I thought I was going to start off by just saying I didn't want to share about this topic, but kind of sitting with it and realizing when I first read it before the meeting started, and I guess I got a little triggered because I went straight to thinking about like the parents didn't share enough part, because I really related to the shutting down during conflict and like not knowing how to have conversations and like just a list of labels that I've given myself. But then I started thinking and hearing everybody else share, and like I started reading towards the top, like, well, fuck, I've got all that stuff too. Like, what's going on here? And then the part where it said, just the simple part that says, you heard things no child was meant to hear. And then it like fucking clicked. There's multiple things that memories that come to mind of just, I mean, the obvious stuff was always just the fighting, dad calling mom names that like no person should ever be called, no matter what. And then sitting down for dinner 3 feet across from these people and then being asked how my day was. So that stuff's always made sense of how much it affected me. But what else comes to mind with the stuff that I wasn't supposed to hear is like that this the stuff that was like right in front of me, like talking about siblings, or even what comes up tonight is like literally talking about me right in front of me, but using like I'm not even there. Like my mom's name was Joy, so I can vividly remember my dad saying like, well, what the hell's the matter with them, Joyce? And I'm like sitting right there in the same room, but they talk like I'm not there. So it makes a lot of sense that I've got both this two-sided reactions to these different things that I had to go through as a child. But like everything else right now, I'm just like trying to come back to the present moment and like see how much of the shit that I'm going through right now. And because it's all relationships, doesn't matter what type it is. All this shit comes out in any type of relationship that I have. And I got to thinking about, of course, the most recent one that I've been talking about, and the same fucking shit. I can pinpoint the same shit. The having a nice evening, everything fine, going out to dinner, whatever. And then it'd be like slipping in a little sentence about something that's been bothering her for fucking 3 weeks. And it's like, what the hell? We just had this beautiful evening. And then like, you're basically telling me you're unhappy. It's like, and that's the chaos. That's the addiction to the chaos. I'm addicted to the need to figure out how to get this person to be happy with themselves, with me, with whatever the hell they've got going on in their life. And it's just, I'm so sick and tired of living this fucking way. And I can tell that I'm not living that way anymore. I mentioned in the chat this morning that I just said, I'm done with this. Like, there's no reason to have any further relationship with this person, and just deleted everything, blocked on everything, anything social. And funny part about that is, within 2 hours, right before my job interview, all of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, here comes like a 5 minute long text message with, I can't even go into how fucked up it was, like showing that any type of trying to explain whatever I think she needs to explain to herself to feel better. And the great part about that was the same thing happened with my mom yesterday. Right before I go into this big meeting with my daughter's school, a mom who I haven't heard from since she emotionally abandoned me when I was trying to talk about this breakup decides that she needs to text me because it's getting close to Mother's Day and ask me how I'm doing because she hasn't heard from me in a while. And I tell her that I need some space. I'm working on myself. And I ended it. And then, of course, I get the follow-up message. Well, I was just worried about you. And that's the message I always got. I always need to be worried about because I'm such a fuck up. Like, so now it's my job to prove to you that you don't need to worry about me and come comfort you because it's just so fucking backwards. So the universe is preparing me for this shit by one. I mean, I'm seeing the pattern. And even today, I got this long message. I said, fuck that. I'm not dealing with that right now. I've got bigger things to on my plate right now than worrying about what the hell she's got going on. And finally got home, settled in, decided I just need to send a message. And I said, I really appreciate the fact that you reached out. And I'm really happy to hear that you're working on yourself and figuring out your own healing. But I'm not interested in a friendship. I think continued space is the best option and healthiest option for me right now. Take care. And that's how I truly felt. I didn't mean anything harsh by it. I put myself first, and it feels really fucking good. So I don't know what the hell I just said, but it felt really good to get out of my system. And thank you for listening.
This topic really strikes home with me as I continue to do this work over the years. My perception changes and the way that I feel about things has changed. And it's as if, for example, with my daughter, suddenly I could see what I wasn't able to see before. I could see myself with my poor mental health and continued depression, how that would have impacted her. And Stephen, I like your reference to patterns because these patterns keep being revealed to me. So my mother, from I was just a little thing, she told me how horrible her life was because I was born, how she had to marry my father, who was an alcoholic, who be. I just listened to this stuff. And then I would go to school and I would cry. And it was so common or frequent, my crying. They would just sit me in the back of the classroom. And I just listen and I just take it in and I absorb it. So when my daughter was born, I declared I would never burden her with the challenges that I grew up with in my life. So consequently, I didn't tell her about my trauma. There was no need to. It was not a question she asked, Mama, have you ever had trauma? I mean, but now, as I'm looking back, and this has just come to me now as I've listened to you all and the reading, it's come to me now how, in the inside with her, I was terrified all the time. Every single place we went, somebody was going to take her. If she was out of my sight, And I was walking with her, and she was only about three, and I was holding her hand. I never let go of her hand. Oh, never let go of her hand. And then I hear this voice, and she says, "Mama, hold my hand." I'm holding her hand. But what she was picking up was that I was not present. My muscles were gripping her little hand, but I was not present. So now I'm going to say the universe is allowing me to see my higher powers, my angels are letting me see now from another perspective. I can see myself with her being so rigid, but rigid out of absolute love and absolute terror, and rigid in that no matter what, I will keep her safe. And so I can see myself now as this very rigid. Then our joke, my alter ego, my pistol packing mama, she's not going to be shamed when she's in my care. Now, what that has caused me now to see is to look differently at my mother and my experience with her. For example, she was raped over a period of many years by an older brother. And for other reasons, there are patterns emerging about how she was able to send me out with this guy who was having sex with me and not pick that up. But here's where it came together. I have said here that there was a period when my father was absolutely unbounded, open, and aggressive about his sexual interest in me. And I was about 13. And that was also a time when my mother and I clashed. And she would get drunk and she would come and she would get in the bed and she would be so harsh, "Move over." And then she'd get in the bed and essentially just pass out. That was another level of abuse for me. But now what I see, because I was locked in a certain place and a way of thinking that impacted my raising of my daughter, then so had she. When she was climbing in bed with me, she was the 14-year-old girl who was raped and then forced out of the house by her parents. So the only thing she knew as a 14-year-old was to come and protect me physically, because my father kept turning up in my door, all standing there all night. So what I thought was horrible, nuisance, odd part of their dysfunction, that was a part of her trying to save me. And now what's come into my mind are other instances in the years, subsequent years, of where she protected me silently. And I brought that silence with me and that protective nature. So where I am with this now, because it's just come to me, I'm going to keep being still, because when I'm still, I'm at peace. And when I'm at peace, things are not churning, and I can see and I can make connections. I love this community. This is a divine, divine community. And I thank you for my life, my wholeness. And we're all on the same journey, just from different cities and states and different parents. But at the root of it, we're all trying to recover and discover our self, that diamond self that's inside. It's a diamond. I love you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Everybody hear me?
Not very loudly.
I'll talk loud. Is that better?
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
All right. Well, after I read this, I thought about, well, you know that thing where people say, like, you know, God came down and told everybody to speak to life and I wasn't there that day? Well, I have that little narrative in my head, but it's not complete. It kind of goes like this. Like, God did come down and gave everybody the secret to life, and I wasn't there. However, I came back into the room. But no one's, everybody knows I don't know, but they're not telling me. And so that's what it was like being in my family. Like, it was a given. You're supposed to know. You don't ever sweat. And you just pretend you know everything. And if you don't know it, just hide that shit and then go run and Google it, or before Google, find an encyclopedia or dictionary and act as if you'd always known. And because she couldn't, my mom couldn't have kids, she needed adults. So my sisters, I'm the youngest, really grabbed on to that. And I didn't, which made me the scapegoat. But to be in a family where I believe everyone is so capable and competent, and I believe that I'm not, is really strange, because outside of my home, I could hold my own. I had friends, and I could hold a job, and I could go to school every day, you know, as a teenager. But the narrative in my family was that I was just incompetent and too emotional and really fucked up. So this stuff thing about, they all know, and they know I don't, but they're not going to tell me. And it almost feels like that's how they wanted to keep me dependent on them. And my sense of, like, learned helplessness is, even if I asked for help, I wouldn't get it. And it was, the response would be, you're supposed to know. And what the fuck is wrong? So I have this helplessness inside of me that is, I don't like it, but I've learned to have more compassion for myself. That in the moments when it's not that I won't help myself. I'll help myself. I just won't ask for help. It pains me to ask for help. And it physically pains me to ask for help. And yet, my husband, all he wants to do is help me, because I never ask for help. And he wants to feel like he brings something to this relationship. And so he wants to be of help in response to my not ever going to help. How ironic is that? So, yeah, that's been something I've carried inside me, this belief that, you know, everybody, and not just my family, like, everybody knows. I was in Florida in February, right? And I had some things delivered from Amazon. Well, I forgot to update my address. So the guy in the house in Florida got something last week. And he texted me and he said, Kelly, what do you want me to do with it? And I said, oh, just give it to a neighbor, you know? And he texted back, like, I didn't open it, !! Like, he was beside himself that I would think that he would know what the context was. The context, to me, if that's an example of it, it's just a given. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody just knows. And I just give people the credit that they all know. And, but they're not willing. So I always feel it. So, there's my rant. Thank you, everyone, for listening to me.